Amen. Awesome. Well, my name is Andy Solsky, and I'm an associate pastor on staff here at Antioch Community Church. And tonight we're going to be continuing our series through Hebrews chapter 11 and with a series entitled By Faith. And specifically, tonight we're going to be looking at the story of Cain and Abel. And so let's not waste any time. Let's hop right in. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, 4. Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. The title of tonight's message is, By Faith, We Worship God Wholeheartedly. And my intention tonight is to ask and to answer four specific questions that arise from this text. Question number one, in what ways were Abel's actions fueled by faith? Question two, why was Abel's offering a better offering than Cain's? Question three, why is this small and seemingly minor story included in what we call the Hall of Faith? And as we go through Scripture and through Hebrews 11, we'll see these heroes of the faith, these wonderful men and women of God. Why is this seemingly small story, this minor story, included in this section of Scripture? And question four, what is God, through Abel, speaking to us today? Hebrews 11:4 says, By faith, Abel brought God. So question one is, in what ways were Abel's actions fueled by faith? Now, this is a bit of a trick question because, in essence, Abel's actions were fueled by faith because all actions, to a certain degree, are fueled by faith or belief. We did it all today probably without hardly even thinking about it. Belief or faith is actually what got you out of your house and into your car today. And faith or belief is what caused you to turn on the car. And once that car was on, caused you to drive it over here to the Tempe Women's Club to come to Antioch Community Church. Maybe it was a belief that church is a place where you can come and meet with God. Maybe it was a belief that church is a place where you can come and meet friends, which it is. Maybe it was just a belief that coming to church is something you're supposed to do. Whatever the specific belief was, it was ultimately that belief that caused you to act. I'll give you another example. So we're all here at Tempe Women's Club, and we park our car, and we come in, and we're mingling, and we say hi to each other, and we grab some snacks from the back and have a glass of lemonade and a glass of water. And then the band starts to play, and we make our way up the aisle towards our seat, and then when prompted to, what do? We sit down. We sit down. We put our body in the care of a few pieces of metal and fabric. Why? Why do we do this? Because we believe that the chair is strong enough to hold the weight of our body. Because we believe the floor is strong enough to hold the pressure of the four legs as our weight is distributed to those legs. And maybe we even believe sitting in a chair is more comfortable than sitting on the floor. Whatever it is, faith was ultimately what got you to church today, and faith is what ultimately caused you to sit down. So, I'm just trying to shed light on the fact that everything we do is indicative of or reveals what we truly believe, even when we're not even thinking about it. And so, therefore, Abel's actions were fueled by faith because, in essence, all actions are fueled by faith. And that's an important thing that I want us to know, and we're just going to tuck that away. And we're going to come back to it in a few minutes. Hebrews 11:4 says, By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. So the question is, why was Abel's offering a better one than Cain's? Now, I propose that Abel's offering was better on two levels. First, the offering was better because of the quality of the gift that he brought to God. But something deeper that's going on as well. Since we've already established that what we do is indicative of or reveals what we truly believe, it wasn't just the fact that Abel's offering or his gift was of higher quality. It's what his offering speaks about, what he believed about God, that made his offering better. What he believed about God is what fueled what he did. And the same thing is with Cain. So what Abel believed about God was better than what Cain believed about God, because Abel gave a better gift than Cain did. So on two levels, not just the gift, but also the belief behind the gift. And now I want to start with looking at the gift itself. And then once we do that, we'll look at what the gift itself revealed about what they believed. And to look at that, we're going to turn to the story itself, which is in Genesis chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis 4. Genesis means beginnings, so it's the beginning of the book. And chapter 4 means it's the very beginning of the book. All right, I'll be starting in verse 1 and reading through verse 7. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So Eve gives birth to two sons, Cain the older, Abel the younger. Cain is a farmer, Abel is a shepherd, and in the course of time, they both brought gifts or offerings to God. God was pleased with Abel's, and he was displeased with Cain's. Now, some scholars say the reason why God was more pleased with Abel's offering is because Abel brought the sacrifice of an animal, which implied it was a sin offering. And the interpretation is that the reason why God was more pleased with Abel is because Abel understood now, because of Genesis 3, the fall and sin, the shedding of blood was required for reconciliation back to God, for the atoning of sin. And so some scholars say that the reason why God was more pleased with Abel is because Abel understood this. Abel understood about that now to come to God, we need the shedding of blood. While that is right and true, while the shedding of blood is required to bring us to God, and we see that fully in Jesus, I actually disagree with the interpretation, because I know that in the Jewish tradition, different offerings were given for different purposes, and those different offerings were distinguished by different Hebrew words. And the Hebrew word for sin offering, and you'll have to excuse my pronunciation, Hebrew words are actually kind of difficult to pronounce. I don't know if you knew that. There's lots of phlegm in them. The Hebrew word for the a gift of atonement or sin offering was shatahath. Shatahath. And again, it was the shedding of blood. It was a gift that it was the shedding of blood for the atoning of sin. Now, that's not the word that's used here in Genesis 4. It says that Cain and Abel both brought a different word, a different type of offering. It's called a minka. A minka. You can try to say that a few times. Now, while the sin offering was for the shedding of blood for the atoning of sin, the minka was something different altogether. It was what we later see in Leviticus, when God is giving Israel all the different laws and all the different sacrifices and offerings that they're to bring to him. It's what we later know as a grain offering or a dedication offering. And this is the way a dedication offering works. You bring something that belongs to you, you bring something that's of value to you, you bring something that's yours, and you bring it to God as a way of saying, how much God means to you. You give him a gift and say, "With this gift, I'm expressing to you what you mean to me." And we actually know something similar to this in our traditions, in our culture. Man and wife are standing at the altar in a wedding ceremony, and they each slide an expensive piece of jewelry on the other's finger. usually a little more expensive if you're the man buying. And what do they say? They say, with this ring, I give you my all. With this ring, I give you my all. So it's a gift that says to the person, this is what you mean to me. This is how important you are to me. This is how special you are to me. I give you my all. My wife, Emily, and I, we started dating in May of 2008, right after my junior year of college. And it was awesome. And by September, I felt God was clearly saying that this is the woman for you. And by October, I was already doing research on rings, different cuts of rings, different clarities of rings, different brands of rings, and therefore different prices of rings. The problem was, by this time, I was a senior in college, I didn't have a savings account, and all the money that was in my checking account was good for but a few weeks of Chef Boyardee and oatmeal cream pies. It was not a whole lot. But luckily, though, I came to find out that I had a mutual fund. And that mutual fund that was started for me when I was much younger. And over time, that fund had grown. And it grew not to a huge amount, but to a substantial enough amount where I would be able to use it to buy an engagement ring and a wedding band. But if you can remember 2008, it was when our country was in the midst of a pretty devastating economic recession. So what was actually in that mutual fund had decreased by almost 40 to 45%. The advice that I received was that, you know, don't sell this. Like, hold on to it. Let the market turn around. But I decided for myself that I would pay any price to make her mine. I would pay any price to make her mine. So I went and I sold everything that I had, and I bought her the ring. And when I gave it to her, I said, though it's not much, all I have, I give to you. Right, and that's what a true minka is. I can't say that word; it's really hard. But that's what it is. It's a true gift. It's a gift. It's saying, so I gave her a ring, and yes, it was a valuable ring, and it was everything that I had. But it was much more than a ring, because it was, with the ring, I was saying, not just I give you a ring, but I give you myself. Right, with this ring, I don't just give you a ring; I give you myself. And that's what that type of offering is. I won't say it again. God was more pleased with Abel because Abel worshiped God wholeheartedly. He worshiped him wholeheartedly. He gave him a gift. He gave God a gift, something that was of value to him. And with it, he said, God, I give you my all. I give you my all. Everything that's mine is yours. I give you my all. Abel gave, it says that he gave the fat portions of the firstborn of his flock. Giving God, in the Jewish tradition, giving God the firstborn meant that you were more concerned with God being blessed than you were being blessed. It meant that you were more concerned with God being blessed than you being blessed. It was a way of giving, the firstborn was the best, and it was a way of giving God your best. And the fat portions, if you look in the Hebrew and what it truly means, it means the choicest or the best parts of the meat. So translation is, Abel gave God the best of his best, the best of his best at cost to himself, not because he wanted to gain anything, not because he wanted anything from God, but just as a way of saying, God, this is what you mean to me. I give you my all. I give you my all. And that's what true love is. True love is not motivated by self-interest. The joy you find is simply in the joy you give. We give God our best because we esteem him as being worthy of our best. We give God our best because of the joy we find in giving him our best. Which brings me to the next reason why Abel's offering was a better offering. Because yes, it was a gift, and yes, it was a better quality gift, but it's what that gift says about what Abel believed about God that made it a better gift. To Abel, God was worthy of his all. God was worthy of his everything. To Abel, God was not a deity to be appeased, but instead a person to be loved. to Abel, God was worth the sacrifice. He was worth the cost. It's what the gift says about what Abel believed about God that made it a better gift. Now, what did Cain do? It says that in Genesis 4, it says that Cain brought some fruits of the soil. It wasn't that Cain didn't give anything at all. It was that he gave half-heartedly. It'd be like a man, it'd be like, go back to the example of Emily and I, when I purchased for her a ring. I had the money to buy her diamonds, but picture this. A man who has the money to buy diamonds but buys cubic zirconia instead because he wants to keep the difference for himself. It was a half-hearted gift. It was a half-hearted attempt to show affection and to show love. And it's not just a shortcut. It's not just a half-hearted attempt, but it's what that half-hearted attempt says about what Cain believed about God. That God wasn't necessarily worthy of his best. He wasn't worthy of his all. He wasn't worthy. God wasn't worthy to say, God, I give you everything. I give you my all. It was a shortcut. It was a half-hearted way to say, to get what he wanted from God. Cain, you can see when Abel is blessed and given favor, you can see how disappointed he was. Cain wanted the favor of God, but he wasn't willing to give all of himself. And that's like many of us today, including myself, when we approach God. We come to God, and we come to church on Sundays, and we sing our songs, we pray our prayers, and we give our money. But when Sunday's over, we live life our own way. We live life our own way. We decide for ourselves how we ought to live. And in this case, doing that, it's just like another form of bribery. It's like trying to bribe God. Trying to get something from God, but doing as little work as possible to get it. It's taking a shortcut. And that's why Abel's gift was better than Cain's. Because Abel worshiped God wholeheartedly. He gave him his best. He said, God, I give you everything. I give you my all. Cain said, God, I'll give you some, but the rest I'm reserving for someone or something else. Wholehearted worship costs everything because it's worth everything. Wholehearted worship costs everything, but it's worth everything. And this leads into my next point. Question number three I asked was, why is this story included in this section of Scripture? Why is it important? See, Abel is the first man to get this. He's the first man to worship God on God's terms. He's the first man to worship God for its own sake. He's the first man to get this. And that's why he's put in this scripture. Go back to Genesis 1, God creates the world. Genesis 1 and 2, God creates Adam and Eve and gives them instructions on how to live. Genesis 3 is the fall. And what do we see in Genesis 3 at the fall? Because remember, action reveals what you truly believe. Action is indicative of or reveals what you truly believe. So what did Adam and Eve say to God? What do their actions reveal about what they believed about God in their disobedience? God said, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because when you do, you'll become like God. And what do Adam and Eve do? They do that very thing. And with it, they say this, God, we don't need you. We don't need you. We'll decide for ourselves what's right and wrong. We'll decide for ourselves what's best for us. And they take themselves and they put themselves in the place of God. And they make God a means to their own end, not an end in and of itself. God became a means to their own end, not an end in and of itself. They say, God, we don't need you. You say this, but we know better. And we see that trickle down into Cain's life too. His half-hearted attempt to get something from God, but not willing to give what it takes to get it. But not Abel. Abel's the first one. Abel's the first one to get it. Abel's the first one to worship God for its own sake. Abel's the first one to worship God for its own sake, on God's terms. You know, the nature of all sin is idolatry. The nature of all sin is idolatry. It's putting yourself in the place where only God belongs. It's putting yourself and your wants and your needs only in the place where God belongs. It's deciding for yourself what is good and right and the way you should live, when really only God can take that place. And only God deserves to take that place. And so Adam and Eve and Cain, they're passed over. But Abel is represented here in this celebration of faith, because he's the first one to believe rightly about God, and we see that in the way he worshiped God. He's the first one to say, God, you're worthy of my all. I will put God in, God, I will put you in your rightful place, and he's the first one to do it. And that's why he's celebrated here in Hebrews 11. So question number one was, in what ways were Abel's actions fueled by faith? And I said, in essence, all actions are fueled by faith. Question two is, why was Abel's offering a better offering than Cain's? Well, it was better because he brought a choice gift. He brought a gift of higher quality. But not only that, it's what that gift said about what Abel believed about God that was better than Cain's. And question three is, why is Abel celebrated here in Hebrews 11? It's because he's the first one to get it. He's the first one to get it. Adam didn't get it. Eve didn't get it. Cain didn't get it. But Abel's the first one to get it. Question four. The Hebrews 11:4 says, and by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So what is God, through Abel, speaking to us today? And what I believe God is saying to us today is that he created us to be like Abel. He made us to be like Abel. We're called to be like Abel. But many of us, as the curse from Adam and Eve has trickled down through redemptive history, have become like Cain. We've become like Cain, but we're called to be Abel. Many of us come to church and we sing our songs, we pray our prayers, and we give our money, but we're not willing to give God our whole life. We're not willing to give God everything. But what God wants to do tonight is he wants to remind us what true love looks like. He wants to show us again and inspire us by his own actions and by his ways and his deeds. He wants to inspire us and remind us again and bring us back to our ableness. Bring us back to Abel, where we worship God wholeheartedly for all that God is worth, simply for the joy of worshiping God. See, Adam and Eve and Cain and us and our half-hearted, idolatry-centered worship, we all try to make ourselves like God. We all try to take God's place. We try to take his place. But what does God do? What does God do in response? He says, though you've tried to take my place, I will come and take your place instead. Amen? Though you've tried to take my place, I will come and take your place instead, and I'll show you that I'm the only one truly worthy to be this. We try to be that, and we can't be that. He comes and becomes this to show us that he's the only one worthy of being that. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We've tried to be like God, and because so, God came and became like us and showed us that he's the only one worthy of being God. And what else does God do? We come to God and we give our lives half-heartedly. But he shows us something different altogether. He demonstrates Abel-like love. He gives a gift to us at cost to himself, simply for our benefit, simply to show us what we mean to him. That's what God does in response. John 3:16, everyone who knows this verse, even non-believers know this verse because it's printed all over. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That word gave in the Greek, didome, it means to give of one's own accord, to give for the good of the other, to bestow a gift. It's very similar to what we see Abel do in Genesis 4. To give at cost to yourself as a way of saying, this is what you mean to me, as a way of saying, I give you my all. That's what he did. He gave us Jesus as a gift. And in doing that, in both taking our place and showing us that he's the only one worthy to be God, and in giving us the gift of Jesus, what he's trying to do is he's trying to remind us what true love looks like. And he's trying to inspire us with his love. He's trying to inspire us by showing us how much we mean to him so that we would respond in kind and we would worship him wholeheartedly. Not for what we can get, but for the worship in and of itself, for its own sake. That's what tonight's message is about. It's about wholehearted worship. And it's not about what it looks like, because for each one of us, it's going to look different. It's just about remembering that God has given wholeheartedly to you. And it's about you responding in kind the way Abel did. It's about wholehearted devotion and worship, simply because God is worth that type of love. Would you pray with me? Father, I give you praise. We give you praise and honor and glory, and say you are the only one worthy to be God. And we confess of all the ways that we've tried to de-God you, we've tried to de-God the only one who's worthy to be God. We confess of those things. We confess of our half-hearted worship, of not giving you our whole self, but trying to bribe you with part of ourself. We confess of that and ask that you would come and you remind us again, and you would refresh us. And God, just as the scripture says, would you return to us the joy of our salvation? Remind us of how great it is just to be saved. Just to be saved. Would you remind us of that?